Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Banks. And thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight to the destiny, the call, to the purpose of God. And this 15-minute of empowerment, we're going to be encouraging you in your walk of faith in this place where you go through the process and the things that you might encounter, or if you haven't encountered them, that you will encounter, to encourage you to continue to walk by faith, to believe God, to trust Him, to know that what He's doing in your life serves a greater purpose than where you are now. You're going to be a blessing to many people, to many races, to many nations. God is going to cause you to be the light. He's going to cause you to be that person that's going to encourage someone else in their faith walk, bring them into salvation, help them to love and to continue to walk according to the will and the word of God. So you are an unlikely candidate because God has chosen you and the world did not, but you've been called for something greater than where you are, and the process is just making you be purified and getting you to the place of growth and maturity so you can handle fully what God wants to do in your life. We've been looking at the book of Esther and these last few days, and even going to go to it next week when we go back to our 15 minutes of empowerment. And this place, this topic that we're talking about is an unlikely place of blessing. And sometimes God will use an unlikely place to bless you, to promote you. We're going to go back over again because of some details that I missed that I want to give them to you so that you would understand that, you know, God would use unlikely places in your life to bless you. He would use the mess, the things you don't understand, the stuff that you go through, the things that happen in your everyday life to cause a blessing to happen in your life. And when we see that and understand that, as we look at Esther and many other people in the Bible, then we know that same God that did it for them, same God is going to do it for us. We just got to stay in the position that we know that He is a God that is trustworthy, and stay in a place where we're tender before Him so we can hear Him and respond to Him and walk by faith and not by our sight or by our emotions or what we feel. When we look at Esther, we understand that God is setting her up for a blessing, not only her, for her family and the nation. And this blessing is going to come through one woman's rebellion and a king's vanity, pride, and haughtiness. It's going to come through that. The stage is set for God to take down one and put up another. And that's what God wants to do. We don't understand all the time how God is going to do it, but He's taking one that has been there who will not do or who will not respond to Him or honor Him or do what He wants, and He will basically allow them to be there for a moment. And sometimes that moment might be a few years, but then He'll take that person down and He'll put up and establish the one that He wants. You might be the one that's up next. So your preparation time is going to get you ready for what you are next for, whether that's a promotion on your job, something that's going to happen in the ministry, somewhere that God is going to take you, your business, an opportunity that you're going to get, someone you're going to meet. You might be the one, so you've got to be prepared. You've got to be prepared, whether it's getting a spouse, meeting a friend that you really need in your life. You have to be prepared for whatever it is, that college opportunity, if it's the grades, whatever it is. You've got to allow this process to get you ready for what the next thing that God is going to set you up for. So we see here in the book that the king basically has had in his third year reign, and that's not really a long time, but in his third year, he throws this party, and the party lasts for 120 days, but that's for all the providence of the people that he basically has. It's all the rulers, all the governors. He's throwing a feast, and these are all his officials and their servants, and they basically showing off his riches and his kingdom, and it lasts for 180 days. This lasts for 180 days, this party. But then, in the city where he's at, in Shushan, he throws another feast, and this feast is for 7 days. And this seven-day feast basically consists of everyone that's great and everyone that's poor that's there, and he's showing the vastness of his kingdom. He's showing the splendor of his kingdom, letting them drink out of goblets of gold and all of these different things. He's doing all of these things, and he's allowing them to see his great wealth, to see his great splendor, and it's basically him being very prideful. what happened in the seven-day feast is that the people could drink as much as they wanted or as little as they wanted. And that was not the custom of the Persians, because in the custom of the Persians, what basically happened, every time the king lifted up his goblet, then the people were required to drink. But here, they could drink as much as they wanted or as little as they wanted, and they could do whatever their heart wanted to do. And so we see here, this is basically what we're seeing in society today. They're drinking as much as they want of whatever they want. And that could be greed, that could be pride, that could be perversion, that could be anger. Whatever it is the world wants to drink of, they're drinking as much of it as they want. They're doing whatever is pleasing in their heart, and they saw no wrong in whatever it was. Now, we can only imagine in 7 days, if you're drinking as much as you want, what was taking place in the king's palace. But it didn't matter, because he had the great and the poor there. He had all kinds of people in his house, and he was allowing them to do whatever made them feel good to do. And so we see that is the attitude of the world. Whatever makes me feel good, whatever I want to do, that's what I want to do. And so we see in society today that people are drunk with different things. But we are required by the word of God to be sober-minded. We're supposed to know the time. We're supposed to have the spirit of Issachar and know the seasons and the times, know what's going on, and know how to act accordingly. And how we act is according to the word. How we respond is according to the word of God. So we must be sober-minded. We cannot be drunk with the things of the world, drunk with passions of the world, and think that that's going to lead us to a place that is pleasing to God. We have to be sober, knowing what God's will is and his word is, walking according to that, and understanding the time that we're living in, and understanding that Jesus even said that in the last day they're going to be drinking and being merry. They're going to be giving in wine. They're going to be selling properties, making money, getting married, doing all of these things. They're going to be doing whatever their heart pleases to do. But we understand that even in the midst of that, we have to be sober-minded and be alert to the things of God. So we see here that the king is doing this and this, and the queen has her own banquet for the women. She has a place that's set up for the women. So the women are there, and the women are talking, and I'm quite sure they're saying the complaints of their heart, the things that they like and the things that they don't like. They're doing all of these things. And so we see that on the seventh day, the king was very merry in his heart. Basically, he was intoxicated. He was drunk. And he commanded that seven eunuchs, it took seven eunuchs, and these eunuchs could be involved in administrative, but they were in charge of different things, and their names actually represent different things that we won't get into today. But they all seven of them went to go and get the king and bring her to the king wearing her royal crown. She had to wear her royal crown. In other words, he wanted her dressed in a royal splendor, and he wanted to show her off because he'd already showed everything else in his kingdom, and this was the last thing. Now, this basically, she refuses him. And she refuses him, and this basically this rebellion that she shows and displays didn't start at this moment. It started long before then. And how we understand that is because the king himself was very prideful, very haughty. He was very vain. And what he was displaying, what he was giving, was not something that was just that this started. So every day he lived in this prideful, vain way, behavior, manner, very arrogant manner. And so she probably, being a queen, being chosen for him, despised this. And after a while, this silent rebellion became an open rebellion, and she began to display it. It never starts with one moment. It starts in the heart. It starts with things that come from the heart. It starts from you saying things under your breath, in your heart, rolling your eyes, murmuring. It starts with that. And as you begin to allow that to fester, it openly comes out. It will come out after a period of time. And you will see that thing that started in their heart be something that is displayed openly for everyone to see. So we have to be careful that we don't let the things that we go through change our heart and make us rebel against God, against his will, just because he's taken us through a process. We have to be very, very careful. She despised him in her heart. She despised the pridefulness of the king and his behavior, and we see that. But God knew that she was going to do that, and he set that up. He allowed that to happen because he was going to use Esther to be the answer to her people. She was going to be the key to her people. So the queen's rebellion was something that God already knew. He already knew the people were going to be they were going to be in a place in a foreign land. He already knew that they were going to rebel, that the ancestors of Mordecai and Esther were going to rebel. He already knew they were going to be in exile, but he already knew the enemies that were going to come, because God knows the beginning from the end. God already knows your enemy. He already knows what they're going to do, but he's already made a way for your escape. And you've got to understand that you're not going to fall. You're not going to go down. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemy. God prepares a table that you have to eat everything that he has up there. And your enemy don't understand what you're eating or why you're eating. They don't understand the good things that you're eating and the things that are for you, that are going to reprove you and refine you. They don't understand that, but God prepares that table, and that table is just for you. And they've got to watch you eat. They're going to watch you eat the good. They're going to watch you go through some things, but they're going to watch you come out blessed. He's preparing a table. So God is doing this, and Esther is in a foreign land. The Bible lets us know that the king basically, his rebellion, there was a disrespect because he asked for the queen to come in a place where all these men were intoxicated, where they're going to be looking at her, saying, making comments, doing all these things. It was a disrespect. So they both disrespected each other. There was no respect there. And so we see that when this happens, the king is furious. He comes out of that state that he's in. He's furious, and his advisors tell him what he needs to do. These advisors that the king is using are these astronomers and musicians that they're basically those who try to tell him to hold, and they don't know too much, but they say what they say, and the king follows them. So we see that as they're doing this, they said that there's a fear that other women are going to follow the queen. And if they follow the queen, they're going to show contempt, which is basically they're going to despise their husband, and they're going to rebel. So they said, let's have a beauty pageant. Let's find all the beautiful virgins in the land and bring them. And as they're bringing them, they're going to be the ones that are going to be prepared. Now, Esther was already called a queen before she ever became queen. God has already called and named you something before you ever get there. He's already called you something before you ever know it yourself. It's already been set up for you. It's already been purposed. She was purposed to be the queen. She was purposed to be the answer, the key to for her people. She was the one that God was going to use, even though she may not have understood everything that she had gone through. Her name, actually, her Hebrew name is Hadashah, which means myrtle. Her Persian name is Esther, which means star. And so we see that Mordecai, and I said yesterday that Mordecai was her uncle. He's not her uncle; he's a cousin. Mordecai was Esther's father was her uncle, so they were cousins. And it says that when her mother and father died, that Mordecai took her in as his own daughter. Now, he had to have been older than her to be able to take care of her. And it does not say where her parents died at, when her parents died, what age she was when they died. But we see that because she's a young virgin, that it was at an age that could have been that when she was very, very young. So she's grown up without the love and the comfort of her mother and her father. She's also in a foreign land. She's also going through all the things that she would face in life, being in exile, not being in her homeland, not having her mother or her father around, being reared by her cousin, but being reared by her cousin, and all of these things are going on. And so she feels a certain way, but she doesn't allow what she feels to change her, the beauty that was inside of her, because the Bible says that she was very beautiful. She is very beautiful. And we see that her beauty was exceeding or supreme beauty. She was supremely lovely or extremely beautiful. And we see that she doesn't allow all the things that's going on to change who she is, because that beauty that is flowing from the outside started from the inside. We don't have time to go further today, but I pray that you have a wonderful worship service and that you take this word of encouragement and you begin to look at yourself. Whatever position you're in, look for God to take that unlikely place and be a blessing in your life. Be encouraged that whatever enemies you've got, God has already to something. He's prepared you and called you something that you don't even understand. But let that preparation place happen in your life. God bless you. I'm Pastor Cheryl Baxton.